The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us his cistern and drank from it himself, with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty, or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman, but still no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'In 4 months the harvest will be here'? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified, that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, it's a long gospel passage. I should have said that before Mass. It's a long gospel passage today. And so maybe a brief commentary. It's so important. It's such a beautiful passage. If you have Bibles at home, and of course as good Catholic people you do, please do go and look up John 4:5-42. That's what we just read. It's a beautiful scene, and we can find ourselves in there encountering Jesus. Right? Here's the thing. So I said that, okay, encountering Jesus, and I want us to make some effort in prayer to encounter Jesus. But this passage is all about Jesus encountering us. The woman thirsts. It's clear that she thirsts. She's to the well. She's thirsting, but even more so, okay? She's, quote unquote, married five times. This is a thirsty woman. It's a thirsty person. She's looking for something, and she cannot satisfy her longing. She cannot satisfy her thirst. But against the backdrop of her thirst is God's thirst for her. God's thirst for her. And it's much more profound than her thirst for God. And what does God do? Just as he, through Moses, struck the rock in Horeb, he strikes the rock of her heart and allows a spring of living water to well up there. My friends, this is what we do when we pray. This is what we do when we come to Mass. And there's all this kind of back and forth with the woman and, oh, you know, hey, yeah, we're going to, like a little kind of chat and playful, and I don't want to go too deep here, and Jesus kind of like waiting her out. Well, we kind of do the same thing, right? When we make time for prayer, it's hard to say, dive right in the deep end. Lord, this is where my heart is. This is what's on my heart. This is what's on my mind. But we kind of edge in a little bit. Okay, well, and we start still thinking, right? We've got distractions in our mind, and we're made this time for prayer, made this time for encounter with God, and yet it's still quite difficult. And Jesus is there with us, honoring our commitment in time and coming to go deeper, calling us into friendship with himself. It's what we do here, right? We have the rituals at the beginning of Mass, our penitential rite, where we say, yes, acknowledge my sin, know that I'm not worthy, but I'm here, I'm putting myself in your presence, God. I want to receive this living water that you have and that you want to give me. And we make our way through the readings, right? The Old Testament. God is faithful. Even when we're not, God is faithful. And then we encounter Jesus. It's the full flourishing of the life of God, that embodiment of God that calls out to each of us by name, that calls us forth, right? And then it all culminates in our giving in sacrifice with Jesus, our whole heart and whole life. And then receiving communion, right? That God is striking the rock of our hearts when we receive communion, so that living water can not only dwell within us, but well up within us to spill over into the entirety of our lives. Look at what happens to this woman, right? A woman of ill repute, a great sinner. She would say it as well. She evangelizes a whole town. A town, by the way, that Jesus' disciples could not evangelize. That's what Jesus wants to do with us. He wants to claim us for himself. He wants to fill our hearts with his love to overflowing, that his love may encounter the people around us who so desperately need it. We can draw them also. God can draw them through us to Jesus so that they might also have this living water, this wellspring of eternal life.